Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
From the Esri Developer Summit to the search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, and with South by Southwest mixed in, GeoNews was literally all over the map this week. We'll get you caught up on just the news you need to know, but first a word from our sponsor. Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags. So, Dina, last week, three particularly newsworthy events shaped our little corner of the world. I want to start with Malaysian Airlines 370, as I think it was a teachable moment for the satellite data companies, and particularly those willing to expose their data to crowdsourcing efforts. So by way of background, Digital Globe and Blackbridge Corporation, formerly known as RapidEye, released satellite data on the web and asked anyone and everyone to search for debris and oil slicks, anything that could point to where the plane went down. Digital Globe used its TomNod platform, which had been used in other crowdsourcing recovery efforts like Typhoon Haiyan. Blackbridge teamed with Mapbox to expose limited satellite passes of data. Both allowed users to tag areas where the imagery, within the imagery, that looked like it could have pieces of the plane, oil slicks, as I said, rafts, anything that looked unusual. Now, this effort brought over 3 million pairs of eyeballs looking for wreckage. And was this a good thing, or really was it a nightmare? I think it offered a few lessons. You know, crowdsourcing brings challenges such as the ability to quickly acquire and post imagery at the right time, at the right place. Given that time was of the essence to finding wreckage before it sank, satellites may have been retasked on short notice, leading, I think, to less than optimal conditions. And second, if you're a crowdsourcer, I just saw many errors of commission in the interpretation of imagery. People were tagging white caps and clouds and other extraneous items that a trained image analyst would not. The result, to me, led to combing through false positives. And even with the algorithms that I'm sure Digital Globe has that would review the tag data, I just wonder to what extent it was all useful. Then there was the aspect of spatial and spectral resolution. While Digital Globe imagery provided good spatial resolution at half meter, most of the data online was panchromatic, and you know that's a single band of data that was only in the visible spectrum, which didn't really offer optimum viewing. I mean, when you're looking at inky black ocean, there isn't a lot you can do anyway. Blackbridge in the RapidEye data was 5 meter spatial resolution, and that was just not sufficient if you're looking for anything resembling a plane door, rafts. So in the future, I think we'll see more efforts like this, but it comes with certain expectations. You know, when I was interviewed last week by CNN, I mean, the questions I was being asked were things like, do you think crowdsourcing was effective? Were you able to see anything? Was it fun? I mean, there were a range of questions that, again, that kind of opened a door, and I just believe that the untrained eye looking at this stuff, I'm not sure if it was truly a valuable experience. It was interesting for me, as someone who had done this professionally. I just wonder that some of these crowdsourcing challenges presented maybe some confusion.
Well, I think we're really still in the Wild West of using crowdsourcing in this kind of time-restricted, trying to get as many eyeballs as possible and get the most valuable information out. We're still learning how to do that. And I guess the one thing that stands out to me is I wasn't surprised at all to see Digital Globe jump right in. It has a platform designed for exactly this, TomNod, which certainly you and I have heard of, but maybe the planet hadn't yet.
Right.
I thought they did a good job getting the word out. If I were going to spend my time participating, which I was unable to do this past week, that's the platform I would go to. I was very disappointed when I saw the sort of less professional outreach from Blackbridge, which did not put out a press release. As I understand it, sent an email to some news outlets, including Directions Magazine. At the bottom of the email, it said, "We are happy to assist the media's coverage of major events whenever possible. Do not hesitate to contact us using the information below." So it was much more of a PR play. In fact, one of our very well-known tweeters talked about ambulance chasing.
I would have to agree with you on both those counts. I thought Digital Globe did a very good job of working with the media. When I spoke to Edelman, their PR firm, they were inundated with calls and were actively working with the mainstream media. And they asked me in particular if I'd make myself available to help that in that effort, which was nice. When I contacted Spot, which offered imagery but not for crowdsourcing, they offered it more for the internal sources. They were not going to offer it publicly. They were not as busy with requests. So I think you're right. I think we're in the early stages of how do you deal with a situation like this, and how do you get eyeballs who are at least interested in doing it? 3 million people is a lot of people. So from that aspect, that's a lot of people looking at it. Yeah, let's move on to talk about the Esri Developer Summit. Watching the videos from the event, as I did not attend, but I watched enough to get a feeling for what was being presented in the plenaries, is that I think Esri was taking a little different approach with developers this year, acting more like a platform company rather than an end-user company. I'd almost give it the Apple to Microsoft comparison. I don't know if that's the best way to phrase it. I don't know if that would resonate with the audience, but I think it represents a little bit of a change in the mindset. And while I'm not ready to say that Esri is swapping their business model and abandoning the desktop for the app world, I'd say it's a recognition that the software game has changed. And I think this has been an evolving effort on Esri's part. And I point to a number of changes. The recognition that the business model is changing, at least for its developers. And I think Esri understands that many developers want to take ArcGIS Online and target either the consumer market or helping other clients who are active Esri users develop apps for them. They've changed some of the licensing so that it makes it easier for developers to work with end users. And I just think that they've changed their mindset a little bit about this, and they want to play more completely in the business of application development rather than controlling entirely the desktop, on-premise, or cloud platforms.
Well, and I think that makes a lot of sense, because certainly ESRI would want to tell that story to its partners and developers, that they wouldn't be saying, "We're a product company, we're a product company, we're a product company."
Yeah.
And some years ago, they started, when there was an awful lot of cutthroat competition in the selling of boxes, ESRI's response was, "Well, don't just sell boxes, provide services."
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're still in that space, but maybe even more so. And let me, I found that same kind of theme, but encapsulated in very few words. This was quoted by a number of tweeters. I don't know who said it, but here's the quote attributed to ESRI. "We can't bring everyone to GIS, but we can sure bring GIS to everyone." Right? And it's very different from just going back some number of years, ArcView, GIS for everyone. No, now we're understanding that really, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, what we're going to do is use our partners and our developers to embed and inject GIS in those areas where they need it.
Do you think that with the opening of the developer shop in the Bay Area, with the development shop back in the D.C. area, have they been at least somewhat successful in attracting developers into the Esri fold without looking like the old proprietary Esri that maybe people got the impression that they were?
Have they been successful? I think it's too early to say. I think they're still feeling out how to integrate those two companies into the ESRI fold. I think they're figuring out how to market this new set of tools that they've got from GeoIQ and Amber Case and her crew. So you see ESRI doing a lot of things that maybe you didn't see before. So even just poking around this weekend, there was a hackathon in Pasadena, California. There's a special ESRI prize if you build your app with ESRI. And ESRI's name is showing up as a sponsor for hackathons all over the place, Whether that's driving people to explore their platform, I don't know. Whether the folks that are winning those prizes are really doing quality work or if it's very much just superficial, I don't know. But ESRI is certainly trying. And again, I think that's part of the shift that you indicated.
Yeah, I think they're getting out there pretty well. I think if you'd listened to some of the licensing discussions, they're really trying to make it easier to allow the developers to work more easily with the end users. Let's move on to our final topic, which was South by Southwest. And I found the description that the South by Southwest organizers somewhat interesting here. That it says that they are an incubator of cutting-edge technologies and digital creativity. For those who don't know, South by Southwest, big event mixing technology and music and technology trends in Austin, Texas. It said there are cutting-edge technology and digital creativity. The 2014 event features 5 days of compelling presentations and panels from the brightest minds in emerging technology, scores of exciting networking events hosted by industry leaders, and an unbeatable lineup of social programs. From hands-on training to big-picture analysis of the future.
Oh, please stop.
It's amazing, isn't it? What is it about this event? Is this a place for startups, and is this a place for the geospatial community?
I'm sorry. South by Southwest has jumped the shark. It used to be the cool place to go because not everybody went, and it was really hip, and you're an insider if you knew it existed. But apparently this year, all the regular old brands that we know all went, right, and were sort of in the way of all this new innovation. Geospatial, let's face it, we have highs and lows, right? We're hot, and then we're not, and then we're hot, and then we're not. And guess what? We're in one of those not phases right now.
And speaking to folks at Esri, they went last year. I don't believe they went this year. And they just didn't find any value. I think they're the only true geospatial company there, at least last year. It may be that it's, again, as we have said for a while, it's just there. Location is just there. Yeah, it's in all the apps. Not really special, I think, just as you just said.
It's not the lead thing that's going to draw you to something.
But I want to make one other point, which is if I am interested in the upcoming trend in location, where do I go? It's not South by Southwest, or at least it wasn't this year. I couldn't tell you that it was the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. I don't know. If I was trying to find out what the latest thing was in geo or location, where do I go? And I, and maybe you're right. Maybe we're just in one of these lull periods.
I think you're exactly right. And I think that that's just fine because many organizations have tried to create that show, right? O'Reilly did it with the WEAR conferences, which apparently were I never went to one, but apparently they were really good while they lasted. And then.
And it went away.
And it went away. It sort of got absorbed into another O'Reilly event. And I would say similarly, some pieces of it got absorbed into South by Southwest. Other pieces got absorbed into CTIA and Mobile World Congress and places like that. But you don't go to one of these conferences, well, unless maybe you're an investor. You don't go to one of these conferences saying, hey, let me find some new technology to play with or invest in. If you're really an entrepreneur, right, you've got some problem that you're trying to solve. And what you're doing before you set foot anywhere is you're doing your homework online and you're learning everything you can about whether drones are going to help you, whether sensors are going to help you, whether crowdsourcing is going to help you. And then once you identify the players of relevance to you, you go directly to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These events are no longer the place that surface these ideas. Those things surface themselves and they do it on the web and they do it through things like Kickstarter and some of these articles by the VentureBeats and TechCrunch and places like that. So, for example, at South by Southwest, last year the hot geo thing was an app called Highlight. Have you even heard of that?
No.
Well,
never.
There you go. So this year there were two more like it, one called Social Radar, one called Connect. Guess what? We don't care. And guess what? These already had been announced before South by Southwest, and that we're learning about these things not at the events themselves, but on the web.
And is it being taken over by social media? Are events like this no longer relevant because social media gets the news faster than these kind of events?
from that standpoint, yes. But of course, you don't go to one of these conferences to sit there and watch people give PowerPoint presentations. You go to these conferences to meet the right people and to meet the people that you wouldn't meet sitting around. So if you're going there for that reason, then you should absolutely go. But if you're looking for hot technology, that this isn't the way to do it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Place a comment where this podcast is posted at Directions Mag, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.